I think, first of all, showing up for myself every day, like so much of everything. I mean, actually 100% of everything we do is about mindset. And so I make a very conscious effort every single day to show up with my best foot forward and with the best possible head on my shoulders and direction for the day. And let's face it, we all have off days and we all have, you know, days that don't go great, but I always want to make sure that I'm showing up and putting my best foot forward and finding, you know, the good in whatever the situation is.
Welcome to Authentic Energy, a podcast dedicated to getting to the bottom of what it means to be your true, authentic self at work. I am your host, Wendy Brand, a former corporate executive turned transformation coach. Let's take this learning journey together as I meet with guests weekly to learn how they've managed or not managed to find the elusive boundaries and success in their career and what it really means to find balance. Welcome back to the Authentic Energy Podcast. I am your host, Wendy Brand, and our guest today comes with what I think is the highest honor that a leader could have. So, as a reminder, this podcast was intended to find women that were out there making it in their career and finding success, whatever that looks like for them, and finding joy and happiness and peace. And then not only doing that for themselves, but that are helping create an environment for their team so that they're able to do the same. And this woman, my guest, Carissa Thomas, I believe has captured exactly that. While her title labels her as a revenue enablement leader at a hyper-growth SaaS company, that's software as a service, she is a collaborator, coach, strategist, mentor, and lifelong learner. Her personal mission is to not just leave her mark on the world, but for her work to impact and amplify excellence in others, which we have heard from her team that she is doing just that. Outside of her corporate gig, she enables others on their individual journeys. This shows up in ways of wellness retreats and one-on-one connections and coaching. She was labeled as the enabler as a, you know, in her early childhood, and now has that in her job title. Helping others is what truly fulfills her. I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and I think you will too, regardless of if you are in the workplace or not. I just think there's a lot of great nuggets here from a real person who has found her definition of success. She's managing it in her professional and in her personal life, and she's creating an environment for others to do the same. I hope you enjoy. Hi, Carissa. I am so excited that you are on the Authentic Energy Podcast today. Thank you so much for joining us. I just wanted to start, I think if you could just start by telling us a little bit about where you are now in your career journey and maybe where you've come from.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Wendy, for having me. I'm really, really excited to be here. So where I am now and just a little bit about me and my journey, I am currently working with a software company. It's a startup, very fast-paced, high-energy workplace. I actually, for the last, oh, I guess 6 or 7 years or so, have been in this kind of paced world. Really great. I am a director of revenue enablement. So I lead a team of fellow enablement practitioners who are helping our revenue organization learn and grow and develop skills and sell more and all of the things in between. I have a, of course, like most everybody does, a bit of a unique path to getting me here. I wasn't always in software and wasn't always in the startup world. And I actually, out of high school, wasn't even sure what I wanted to do with my life. Believe it or not, when you're 18 years old and you're like, gosh, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? So I ended up going to business college and got a legal administrative certificate. And I worked for a law firm for several years. That was like my first real job. And I thought, maybe, just maybe, I want to be an attorney. So let's just kind of feel these things out and see how it goes. And I learned very quickly that that was not going to be the direction that I wanted to go. But I did learn a lot. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about just who I am and what I did want, which ended up bringing me here many, many, many years later, but definitely pivoted my career and got out of the legal field, went back to school, got my degree, and became ever so interested in software and software sales. And so kind of the rest is history. I worked for many organizations in between, but I have landed here and I feel like I have found my place in the corporate world for sure.
Awesome. Well, I can totally relate to not knowing what you want to do when you grow up. When I went off to college, I was pre-med. And I mean, I took like two biology classes or two science classes and I was like, okay, I'm out. And I did public relations is where I landed just because communications had some easy classes in it. So, interesting about how you got where you are now. How long have you been at the company where you are now?
About a year and a half. Okay. So in startup world, that's like a lifetime.
Yes.
Just to be clear. Yes. So a year and a half in the startup world is like a decade. Just kidding. Yeah. But we say that when we're like onboarding new folks, when you've been here a month, it's equivalent to 6 months. When you've been here for 2 months, that is equivalent to 1 year. And then that's just how things progress. So it's fast, fast paced for sure.
Yes. Well, tell me a little bit about how you define success.
Yeah. I think my definition of success has definitely evolved as I've grown and developed myself and had the opportunity to explore so many different areas, in my professional life, as well as my personal life. And, you know, originally, I think success was always tied to a position or a title or a monetary something. And, you know, like that feeling of achieving whatever that goal was and like making it to that milestone. And when I reflect on and think about and define success now, I think about success as more of a feeling. And success to me is feeling fulfilled. And I think all of those things that I just mentioned previously definitely are contributors to that. And they play into success and that feeling of fulfillment, but it's a lot bigger than just the very focused things that we tend to, or I know I can personally speak for myself, especially in my earlier years, like very type A rigid, like focus, focus, focus. This is the ladder that I'm going and climbing, and this is how I'm going to get here. And here are my goals and my objectives. And this is the plan. And so there's still pieces of that that are part of it. But at the end of the day, if I don't feel fulfilled in both my professional life as well as my personal life, then that is not success. That can't be chalked up to success, because without the feeling of fulfillment, then what is there? So not success in my eyes.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so for fulfillment for you, what is fulfillment
look yeah. like? So fulfillment for me is feeling accomplished in ways that I'm in enablement, right? So I help other people do their job. I help with them developing new skills or offering additional training. So to me, fulfillment comes in a variety of different ways, but it's when I feel like that validation of, I helped somebody else do their job better, or I helped them move into their next role, or I helped them do something. And again, not only professionally, but also on a personal level, I lead retreats with a good friend of mine. And so taking this in and just like being the connector and kind of the conduit to helping people feel good, or, just helping them in some way, shape, or form is like the ultimate feeling of fulfillment for me. And having that, you know, balance between the two professionally as well as personally, and just in my life and just who I am and, you know, just how I operate.
Yeah. That's awesome. I, you know, our, the mutual friend that we have that introduced me to you, she is someone that I'm going through this coaching course with to get our coaching certification. And she listened to the podcast and she was like, oh my gosh, I have someone for you. This woman is amazing. She's my boss. She's the best leader I've ever had. And so if I take kind of what you've said, your definition of success and really helping others, I think you've probably have reached six. I mean, it sounds like you're pretty successful. If someone on your team, you know, is bringing you up as someone that, that they think of when they think of authentic energy.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about in that for your team, what do you bring? What do you help ensure in that environment, in that culture with your team? You know, that would make one of your team members want to recommend you like this.
Yeah. I think, first of all, my team is there. They are my people. Like they are my people. So, while it is my ultimate goal, of course, to help everybody, the people who are closest to me, which happens to be my team, of course, in this case, are the ones who I definitely prioritize. And I think first of all, showing up for myself every day, like so much of everything, I mean, actually 100% of everything we do is about mindset. And so I make a very conscious effort every single day to show up with my best foot forward and with the best possible head on my shoulders and direction for the day. And let's face it, we all have off days and we all have, you know, days that don't go great, but I do my best to not cascade or emit any like negative things that are going on in my world onto other people. So whether that's my team or whether that's any other individuals, you as an example, I always want to make sure that I'm showing up and putting my best foot forward and finding, you know, the good in whatever the situation is. When it comes to my team specifically, I am a fierce protector of them as human beings, but also of their work and their time. And I definitely go out of my way to make sure that I'm helping them. So whether that's coaching, whether that's development, whether that's offering feedback, whether that's just being, you know, somebody to vent to or have a conversation with, like finding space and understanding them and listening to them is, you know, what I think allows for that environment and allows for us to have that relationship. And just such a feeling of mutual respect, you know? And I think what I put forth is what's also received back. So it's like this energy that comes back and forth and we feed off of each other. And I think we all do, you know, I think that's how we as human beings operate and we pick up on and sense other people's energy and what we need to do maybe a little bit differently to help or to kind of guide somebody in a different direction if they need that. So yeah.
Awesome. That it's so important. And, you know, we know that teams, the first, like the foundation for teams to be high performing and engaged is really that trust. And it sounds like that's something that you've really created with your team and probably others across the organization.
Yeah. You're right. Trust is like, I didn't mention that, but now that you said it, it's such, it is the foundational component to any relationship, working relationship, partnership, whatever it might be. And what I think oftentimes we forget is the most important person to trust is yourself. And it's something that I know I've been working a lot on. And this comes through, you know, a lot of different areas, self-discipline being one, and making commitments to myself and knowing that I'm going to follow through on that. But then also if I make a commitment to you or to somebody on the team or whomever, they trust that I am going to follow through on that. So that's where like this mutual respect and mutual trust comes in. But again, like the foundation of it is starting with yourself and then you're able to share that with other people.
So true. So important.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're kind of in your groove here, right? In this role. But I'm curious, have you in your career, have you found yourself in other roles or at other companies where it didn't feel like this? It wasn't, you know, this great energy.
You mean not the perfect job?
Yeah.
No, I have. I think a little bit less about the role. I've been very fortunate to, you know, develop into the role that I'm in now. And before enablement was really a thing, you know, I was like, how is it that this job could be so perfect for me? Because this is just everything I am. Even since I was a kid, I was always like the enabler, right? Like I was always just like coined the enabler. But in any case, I think it's less about the role and, you know, more about where I've seen this not work out so well is when there's not a fit culturally. So mm-hmm. when either my values don't align or just literally the culture doesn't align with what is most important to me, which we just talked about, a lot of that is trust, mutual respect, just genuine authenticity, honesty, feeling safe to, you know, bring something up or ask a question and not feel like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get, you know, somebody's going to say something or I'm going to look, you know, like I don't know what I'm talking about or something like that. That's hands down the worst feeling that you can have. And so I have been in roles previously or with companies previously where that was the case. And it doesn't jive. I'm not able to be myself because I'm trying to be somebody else to fit into this other norm that feels more like what, you know, the company is and like what the collective is, but that's not jiving with me personally.
And so when you moved from that company to the company where you are now, is there anything that you learned? I mean, I hear you, the trust and the people are really important. Did it impact kind of what, you know, when you went into this new role or this new company, what your priorities were or what your non-negotiables were in order for you to have success or balance in this new position?
Yeah, definitely. I remember going through the interview process and I think my previous experiences fundamentally shifted how I approached the interview process with the current company who I'm with. And I definitely sought out to better understand the non-negotiables and the things that I knew I had experienced in the past. And I wanted to make absolutely sure that this was a fit for me so that I can grow and develop into, you know, of course the role I'm in, but whatever even is next beyond that. Like my goal, of course, even though we joke about startups and you don't stay very long, certainly don't want to leave. Like I want to be here for the long haul and I want to build a, you know, reputation and brand for myself and for this organization and for my whole entire team that, you know, is really something that is, you know, has a legacy and has something to it. So culture was really important, the values, but it comes down to the people and whether that's individual people or people as a collective and the leaders as well. I remember going through this interview process and how the experience felt so right. And this is kind of fluffy, but you have to listen to your gut. Like you've got to go with your gut and you always know when you're making the right or wrong decision. It's just whether or not you're listening to yourself. And I knew in my soul, in my heart, in my gut that this was the right decision. And here I am.
Awesome. Well, it sounds great. And I'm wondering in your current role, because startups are just so intense, right? What do you do to ensure that you're not depleting your energy and that you don't kind of burn out in this fast pace environment.
Yeah. This is really appropriate timing to ask this question because we've got a lot of things going on in within our organization. And I think the reality is just to like step back a little bit, we've all experienced burnout. And I think we will all experience burnout and it kind of comes in cycles, right? And so one of the things that I've done to help A, recognize this and then B, reduce this is being more aware and like thinking about and being aware of what compromises am I making for myself on behalf of, you know, the company or, you know, whatever the project is that I'm working on or whatever it is that's taking away from my, you know, balance in my energy. But I think, yeah, first things first is like understanding and being aware of like what is too much and what are some of the tipping points or the triggers that you can recognize. As far as like actual things that I do to help ensure that I'm not depleting all of my energy, especially within work, is I prioritize my mornings to be just focused on me. So every single morning, and I'm a morning person through and through, like a crazy morning person. So I have my rituals that I follow every single day. And that's what just keeps me in check, that keeps me balanced, that keeps me, you know, flowing in the right direction. And then the other thing, and I encourage my team to do this, and my manager, my leader encourages the same, take adequate time for yourself every single quarter. So like, don't just take a day or two off, or don't just take, you know, a little staycation. Well, it could be a staycation. It doesn't matter. The point is like disconnect, find the space and the time for yourself and let yourself have that time and energy. I know we all, not all of us, but I love to work. Like I enjoy working. I really do, but I need to make sure that I recognize that there's a time and place for it. And then there's a time and place for not working and disconnecting. So those are a couple things. I think also just like on the day to day, having a solid network and support system. So whether that's friends, colleagues, you know, partners, family, whoever it is, oftentimes they're able to help recognize when you might be getting to a point where you're like, whoa, kind of the balance, the scale is tipping, not in the energy bucket favor. So time to reset, reevaluate, reassess. So those are all really helpful things, but definitely, yeah, having a good support system is really critical as well.
Those are great. Those are great tips. And I can just verify or validate for you that the woman that recommended you for the podcast, one of the things she said about what was that you, that's what you're good at is protecting also your team. Like if they're going to take a week off, not, you know, letting them take the week off and not pinging them or, you know, asking for something midway through, like you're good about setting, helping them keep their boundaries.
Yes.
And so I think that's really important too, as a leader. So as much for yourself, and then as a leader, being able to do that for your team.
Yeah. It's important. It is important. Yeah.
Awesome. Can you tell me one or two morning of your morning practices?
I can tell you my whole morning.
Okay. I'd love to hear it.
Like, yes.
Yes.
So generally I wake up before 5 o'clock, not because of an alarm clock, but just because that's when I wake up, my coffee is ready to go. Grab a cup of coffee and I do a daily plan actually. So I write out my plan. I reflect on the day before. I sit, it's quiet. My husband and my two dogs are sleeping. So this is quiet Carissa time.
Your time. Yes.
Yes. And then, depending on the day, I'm either at the gym. I head to the gym usually by about 5:30. Or if it's a day off from the gym, I head to the hot tub. We have a hot tub in the backyard on our patio. And so I just like relax, kind of do some meditation, or I'll do yoga. I'm also a yoga instructor. So I know my way around the yoga mat. And then come in, I do get some things going for work really early in the morning, but it's really just to like check off some key, like, all right, get the email squared away, get the Slack messages squared away, kind of like get in that mental headspace. And then when Mike and the dogs get up, we have another cup of coffee and just kind of relax. And then I take the dogs out for a walk. So that's kind of like our morning time. Sometimes all four of us go, and sometimes it's just me and the two dogs. But again, like I don't listen to any music when I'm walking. When I'm at the gym, I'm a podcaster or a music listener to her. Cause that's a word. But what I love about mornings is the sounds and the smells and the everything. So just spending some time outside is definitely part of the ritual. So
yeah, I love that.
That's a little peek into my morning routines.
You are my inspiration. I have tried that. I am also a morning person, but I cannot, I can. I have difficulty prioritizing myself in the mornings. Mm. Before I left my corporate job, I just wanted to get to work. Like I was eager to just jump in and, but to my detriment, I mean, because I really think if I can, because I have that energy in the morning, if I can prioritize, and I've gotten better at it since I've, you know, now my day is mine. I have no excuses, right? Nobody is messaging me and saying, where's that report? Or are you going to be ready for the meeting at 9, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I've tried to work in meditation. And I still can't get a workout in the morning. It's more of like an afternoon or evening. I am really learning to love yoga because Yay. I'm a big, I love to get massages. Like that just relaxes me. But what I've found with yoga is that if I am doing yoga regularly, I don't feel like I need a massage.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Very
like nice. It just, you know, I don't know. My body responds well to it.
That's good. Yeah, yeah. I think that's exactly it. Your body is like, yep, this is my jam.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. I love to hear that. I love to hear that.
Well, I want to hear a little more about, you mentioned retreats that you and your friend do. Can you tell me a little bit about y'all's retreats?
Yeah. So, just to kind of like rewind a bit, I got my yoga teacher training certification, right before the pandemic, actually. So I had finished my, final community class and got certified. And then the very next weekend, everything shut down.
Oh my gosh.
I know, which was fine. I mean, I didn't set out with like this mission or intention to, I am going to teach yoga. Like this is going to be a side hustle or my real deal or whatever it might be. I just wanted to learn more, you know, like I wanted to better understand my body and blah, blah, blah. But in any case, through the pandemic, Lauren is the name of my friend who I run the retreats with. She actually leads them. So I'm like the co-leader with her, but she has a fitness and wellness background as well. And she had been working for a variety of different organizations to do group fitness or cycle, spin, whatever it might be. Well, so during the pandemic, she obviously everything closed down and she started doing some outdoor group fitness classes. And so that was kind of what sparked this partnership, if you will. And she had been wanting to build a retreat business essentially. And so we started talking about it and we started like putting together some ideas and thinking about some plans for how this might go. And long story short, fast forward now 2.5 years later, and we're running 4 retreats a year, 1 international, 3 of them are local. I'm based in North Carolina. And so either at the mountains or at the beach or wherever it might be, the local ones or the domestic ones are just a long weekend. So it's usually a Thursday to Sunday or maybe a Friday to Monday or something like that. And then the international one is a week long. So we just had one in Costa Rica in January, which was amazing, but it's really cool because, you know, Lauren has all of this experience with just fitness and wellness and group instruction, and she's a yoga teacher trainer or yoga teacher as well. And then I bring in like kind of the programmatic side of it, like being in enablement for as long as I have and developing curriculums and plans and like agendas and all of the things. The power of the two of us works yes. really well because I am that planner and very programmatic. So yeah, the retreats generally consist of, you know, like a morning meditation. We wake up with warm ginger tea, coffee, of course, if you're a coffee drinker, meditation, yoga, group fitness, group activities. So maybe like journaling or something along those lines. And then depending on where we are, we're, you know, out hiking or we do a winery tour or we do a variety of things. So it's very wellness focused and very good for the soul. It's wonderful for connecting with other people. The week-long ones are a lot more just intense in that mm-hmm. we've got a lot of structure to the schedule. But what's really cool about it and the feedback that we get from our guests is like, it's as everything is optional, of course, right? So you don't have to do anything, but you are welcome to do everything. And what we find is most of the time, everybody does everything because they just love it. So it's a great way to connect with other people, but disconnect from like normal life. And we get a lot of solo travelers, solo women, especially who are on these retreats who have never done this before. So they're like, getting out of their comfort zone, and we just create the space for them to, you know, be on this path and this journey to wherever they're going. So it's really cool. It's really a lot of fun.
It sounds amazing. Okay. So if we have podcast guests that want to check it out, where would they find information on that?
Yes. So the link, I can send you the link we can drop it in the chat, but LaurenRosella.com is where they would go. LaurenRosella.com. So you'll see all of the retreat offerings that we have coming up. And yeah, we can drop it in the show notes too.
Awesome. Okay. Yes. Yeah, we'll do that.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to shift into some fun questions.
Okay.
What is one thing that you do in life that brings you pure joy?
Pure joy, I would have to say there's quite a few things actually. Dogs bring me pure joy. Like I love my dogs I don't have kids, so I can't imagine what it would be like to love a child, but I can only imagine that I love them as much as I would love a child. And so that brings me pure joy. Aside from that, I love, love, love gardening. I love just being outside. And like I had mentioned earlier, helping other people, like that really fills my cup in a lot of different ways. So,
Awesome. Do y'all have like a garden or?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm actually just getting into vegetable gardening, but my garden is more like tropical-y botanical garden, a lot of banana trees and elephant ears and a lot of just, if I could show you just even what my office looks like here, you would see all of the plants and all of the things. But yeah, cool. I love like just learning about it. I think it's a lot of fun. Good excuse to be outside.
Yes. Okay. If you could go back in time and talk to your younger self, like 5 or 6 year old self, what would you tell her?
Just be you. Just do you, girl. Don't listen to anything anybody else has to say. You just let your conscience be your guide and run with it. Be wild, be free, be a kid. Don't ever be older than 5 years old. No, I'm just kidding. It's true though. I think about like when I see kids out playing or even just like walking down the street and here's this kid just like jumping around and like flailing. I'm like, where? I want that. What
I know.
That? When did that go away?
I know. Awesome. I love it.
Okay. And then last question. I love to travel. And so I love to ask my guests, like, where's your most favorite place that you visited? And then what's on your bucket list?
Ooh, okay. This is good. I also love to travel. So we just went to South Africa this last October.
Oh, wow.
So that is my favorite place that I've been ever. We did the safari, excursions. We went to Cape Town. We went to wine country. So like all of South Africa, it was really, really incredible. But I've been very fortunate to travel to a lot of places. So I have a lot of favorites, but I'll leave it at that. One place that is on my bucket list, but I haven't been, I'll just tell you, we're toying between three different locations for our trip this year. So either Iceland, my husband is a photographer and really wants to check out the Northern Lights there. Portugal, I've heard great things about and have never been, and Greece. So those are our three that are technically on the bucket list and hopefully the short term check it off the
list. Yeah. Amazing. Any of those three sound amazing. How long did you, when you went to South Africa, how long did you spend there?
We were there for 2 weeks. Yeah. Okay. Two full weeks. It was incredible. I recommend it to anybody and everybody. If you've ever even had a slight inclination to want to travel to South Africa or go on safari, do it. You will not regret it. And I will help you plan your entire trip if you want to go.
Of the guests that I've asked the question of what's on their bucket list, like 2/3 have said Africa. I mean,
really?
It is a popular wannabe dust. I mean, you know, not everyone has been. It's a bucket list. So you're ahead of the rest.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's incredible.
Awesome. Well, Carissa, this has been so great. I feel like, you know, you really, at least from an outsider's perspective, it seems like you have a really clear idea of, you know, your success, your non-negotiables, and that you're really kind of living your purpose and helping others right now. And so, it's really great talking to someone that's managing that in the corporate world. So thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Wendy. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
See ya.
What a great, inspiring conversation. Here are my takeaways. Number one, success can be defined as a feeling of fulfillment in your personal and professional life. Reaching milestones and achieving goals may go into that feeling, but helping others is really the thing that gives that feeling of fulfillment. Number two, 100% of what we do is about mindset. It is important to show up for yourself and others by putting your best foot forward and finding the good in the situation. Number three, become a fierce protector of your team. Coaching, developing, offering feedback, listening, and holding space for them to vent builds mutual respect. When that energy is put forward, you will attract that same energy. Number four, building trust is a foundational component to any relationship, personal or work. And the most important person to trust is yourself. Making commitments and following through on that is what builds trust and a mutual respect. Number five, listen to your gut. You always know whether you're making a right or wrong decision. It's just whether you're willing to listen or not. If something doesn't align with your values, doesn't feel safe, or allow you to be your authentic self, it's probably not the right place for you. Number six, burnout can seem inevitable, but it comes in cycles. In order to recognize and reduce burnout, it is important to be aware and ask yourself, what compromises am I making for this project, for work, for the company, etc.? And then take action to adjust when you can. Number seven, to ensure you're not depleting your energy, prioritize specific time just for yourself each day. Number eight, take adequate time off from work every quarter. Disconnect. Find the space and time for yourself and let yourself have that time to recoup your energy. Even for those of us that love to work, we have to recognize that there is also a time for rest. Number nine, it's important to have a solid network and support system. They can often point out before you see it that you are out of balance. That's it. If you are interested in learning more about the retreats that Carissa and her friend host, you can check out the website at laurenrosella.com. That's LaurenRosella.com. Or if you want to connect with Carissa directly, you can email her at carissa.b.thomas@gmail.com. And I'll put those links in the show notes for you to check out as well. Thank you so much for listening. I am so grateful that you've taken time out to listen to this show. It means so much to me. I also have a handful of coaching spots still available for Q2 starting in April. I want to work with women that are looking to grow in their career or make changes in their life. I have worked with transformation in organizations for decades and have made successful personal changes in my life, and I can help you do the same. Again, thank you so much for listening. If you want to reach me directly, you should know where to find me. It's wendybrandcoaching@gmail.com. That'll also be in the show notes. Thank you so much.